This episode is brought to you by Kobo Plus Read. For the reader who believes in love, find the best romance ebooks with Kobo Plus Read.
No Yomo.
I love reading romance, even with my mom. Historical, paranormal, a good rom-com. We both like a grump, an alpha and a beard. But reading with my mom, well, it gets kind of weird. I'm reading steamy scenes, getting bothered and hot. But if mom is asking, I read it for the plot. We look for swoony scenes, those moments that delight. Communication's good and the banter's so right. So if you'd like to read along and join the group, here's a little secret, I'll let you into the loop. It's just a little show that we like to dub, Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club.
Welcome to the book club that sure is not your mom's romance book club, but it is my mom's. I'm Ellen, and joining me as always is my mom. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Hello, Ellen. It's going quite well.
Awesome. Today we are chatting about A Merry Little Meet Cute by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. But first, Mom, what have you been reading and watching?
Well, I can't think of anything that we watched.
We went and saw the new Matilda
musical
because it was out in theaters. It's coming out on Netflix on Christmas Day. However, I think I've mentioned I'm reading Matilda with my kids in class. We're almost done with it. We're going to watch the 96 version as part of our like holiday celebrations on the day before break, but my kids are freaking jazzed for the musical because they keep wanting, if I have like time to kill, I'll put on the trailer. I did that a couple times and now they like request it. They're like, can we watch the Matilda trailer? So the hype is very large and in charge for the Matilda musical. So I wanted to go see it so that I could either recommend it or give parents like
a warning
of content or whatever, because I didn't want to be like, you know, recommending something that...
And then have parents come back at you and say, what are you doing?
But good news, it's adorable.
It was adorable.
It's
the
really
kids in
cute.
It are too cute.
Yeah. It's really super cute and deviates like even more from the book than the 96 version does. But it's really cute. The music's really fun. The dancing's really fun. The little girl who plays Matilda is so adorable.
Emma Thompson is really good.
Emma Thompson's a really good Trunchbull. Lashana Lynch, I think is her name, who plays Miss Honey. She has like a gorgeous voice. She did a really good job.
She did a good job. Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. We've also been watching some New Girl just because I wanted mindless comfort television. But that's about all we've been watching. And then I haven't read anything else. I don't think you have either.
No.
Mom went on a trip.
I did go on a trip. And you'd think I would have gotten some reading done. My husband and I think I mentioned before, my husband doesn't ever want to fly anywhere. So we went on a train ride. And we had a delightful time. We had a sleeper room. And, you know, at one point our train was late, so we were leaving in the middle of the night. But once we got on the train, she had our bed all made up for us. And we just climbed right into bed and went to bed. And I enjoyed it. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was a lot of fun. Food was good on the train, too. I mean, compare it. Like if you're comparing
for train food.
Yeah, for train food. If you're comparing it to airplane food, it was a feast and a half because airplane food is the worst.
Airplane food is not as bad when you're doing like a longer flight.
Well,
I will say.
Well,
but
this food was good compared to any airplane food I've
had.
But the really nice thing is it's a very chill way to travel and you don't have to worry about any road conditions or any snow on the mountains or any of that kind of thing. And you get to, you don't have to take your shoes off. There's no TSA lines. You just get on you don't have to worry about how much shampoo you have in your bottle.
The 8 ounce thing is not a problem.
Yeah. So, it was a delightful way and we had a really nice little trip and it was a good time.
Yeah. So that's what Mom did.
And you would think I would have gotten a lot of reading done on that, but I didn't.
Or that I might have gotten some done while I was home by myself, but I also didn't.
Okay, so I don't feel so bad.
But in fairness, I spent an entire evening decorating for Christmas.
And you did. So thank you. I came home and my tree was all decorated and my stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
They were.
They were.
Okay. And then the other thing I want to address is that we are our next episode. So we're going to take a break for a couple weeks. Not going to lie. We're looking forward to it. And then we're going to do our live episode, and I think we're going to do it on January 2nd, unless I hear from enough of you that you do not enjoy that
day. Is that Monday?
That's a Monday. A lot of people have it off because New Year's Day is on a Sunday. I might try to shoot for like 5 o'clock on.
So that way East Coast will be.
Yeah. So I will put a thing on the Facebook group to kind of see what people would prefer, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. So mark your calendars accordingly, but also be aware that.
And be aware that the date on the Facebook post is wrong.
Whatever. It's fine.
I'm not trying to point out whatever. That you did it wrong, that you screwed it up and you made a huge mistake and you're a total loser. I'm not trying to point that out.
Yeah, you would never.
I'm just trying to help them understand that the date on there is wrong.
You can make the damn graphics next time, you bitch.
I'm really not trying to. I just want to make sure everyone understands that the date is wrong.
Whatever. So, yes, January 2nd, mark your calendars. And we always enjoy that episode and, you know, picking our favorites from the past year. And I will also put out a thing asking for what some of your favorites were. So be on the lookout for all of that good stuff. But today, we are chatting about A Merry Little Meet Cute by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. This came out in September, and it certainly seems like it is the first book of a series of what I think will end up being the boy band members.
Hookups.
Although I don't see any indication of that, at least on Goodreads so far, but it's definitely being set up like that. This is our first book written by either Sierra Simone or Julie Murphy, mainly because I won't let Mom read either.
This one wasn't that bad.
I mean, certainly worse than anything we've read lately, but.
That's probably true. But, you know, it wasn't out of control.
It's if you can believe it, a little sweeter than Sierra Simone's usual fare.
I believe it.
So, here's the back cover description for A Merry Little Meet Cute. When Bee Hobbs takes the lead in a squeaky clean romantic Christmas movie, there are only 3 rules. Don't get involved with anyone on set. Don't tell anyone what you do for a living. Definitely don't get involved with anyone on set. Seriously. Now she's filming in Christmas Notch, a small town with Christmas trees and festive tunes all year round. But Bee has got a secret identity to hide, and it's not family friendly. And her co-star, Nolan Shaw, an ex-boy band member infamous for his own X-rated antics, not only knows it, but is secretly her biggest fan. When things start to heat up on set, Bee and Nolan must keep this steamy affair under wraps or risk ruining everything. Mom. What did you think of A Merry Little Meet Cute?
I liked it. It's not a love.
I'm like a light, really like, is where I'm at, I think.
Yes, I would say, yeah. Really like light.
Yeah. It's a spectrum, you know?
Yeah, it's so the lower end of the really like,
yeah,
you know, color orange or whatever that would be. And we'll get into more of my
qualms
with this book. I ended up liking it more at the end than I thought I was going to when I was reading it.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of pulled me in eventually. But, yeah, I'll give it a like.
I will say, in general, and I'm not just saying this because we've been totally jonesing on having novellas for the past couple books. This book could have been about 100 pages shorter.
Well, there were a lot of things I read, and I was like, I don't even know why this is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we talk about show, don't tell.
Yeah.
Well, this was like showing us everything. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You could have either skipped that or not told us about it at all.
I told Mom, I'm like, I mean, I've made it very clear that I like the dialogue ratio to be higher on the dialogue side. However, and this one doesn't this one definitely doesn't have that as much. But there's, cause there's like large swaths of exposition. The problem is that usually the exposition is like, okay, yeah, so that's backstory into her emotional well-being, or okay, that's giving us, you know, his history with his father, which is important to the story. There was a lot of stuff in this where I'm like, why did I need to know that? Like, yeah, that doesn't necessarily seem
pertinent. And some of it's repetitive and some of it's, it's just, yeah, it could have been a lot shorter.
Yeah, there was just components that I thought could have been snipped, like it could have been trimmed down a bit, quite a bit, and I maybe would have enjoyed it more, so that's like a general thing that I'm not going to get too much more into elsewhere, but it might come up. Mom, what did you think of B as our heroine?
I liked B okay. One of the main problems I had with this book, and we've talked about this before when we have like a man whore for a hero.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that she's a whore or anything, but he, and I'm not sure if I should talk about this under his umbrella or her umbrella, but I'm going to share it now. He fell for her when she was through her porn site, through her porn
her OnlyFans account, essentially.
Yeah. And that's fine. And I'm not judging either one of them for any of that. But so he was really into her from watching that. And so then when they started like getting together, I didn't see enough to make me feel like he wasn't just into it because of
she was some like porn fantasy.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I wasn't seeing enough of development of their relationship. Like, emotionally, I was only seeing, oh, I can't wait to get in her pants because I've seen so much of this. This has been my fantasy for forever. It's like, okay, well, I need to, in order for me to believe that this is going to last, and that you really love her and this is a lasting relationship, I need to see more of a buildup of the emotions.
Well, and that's kind of the case for both of them because he fantasizes about her from her closed-door/OnlyFans account. And she has fantasized about him from his boy band days. And so I agree. I feel like a lot of their connection is lusty and physical and not as much emotional connection. My dog is pawing at the door to get in.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, he got in.
Open the door. Yeah, so it was hard for me to get sucked into their relationship when I didn't feel like there was, it just felt like an all physical relationship to me.
Yeah, I agree. And that would be one of my qualms as well. I don't have a problem with the amount of sexy times that's in the book. I don't have a problem with her having an OnlyFans account and I don't have a problem with her being a sex worker. I don't have a problem with any of that. We've read books with that content before where it's worked for me, but that's because they've built on the emotional connection. And, I feel like that's slightly missing for me. They have some moments that are kind of sweet, and I do like that they make a point of showing that, of him, you know, saying, like, she is this fantasy that I've had, but, like, I'm realizing that these moments of making her laugh and, like, seeing this persona that's different from her, you know, closed door persona is even more attractive to me. So I did like that they made sure to include that, but that alone does not an emotional connection make.
Right. It wasn't enough for me to be on board with it. So, you know.
Yeah. Back to specifically B.
Oh, B.
I did like B. I thought that the body positivity in it was kind of perfect amount. Like, yes, she had reasonable insecurities, but also, like, didn't dwell and also had been able to find confidence in her body through her work and through the fact that, like, yeah, I know for a fact that people find me hot.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but even with that, still, like, when his arm brushes against her stomach, she's like, and, like, sucks it in kind of thing. And, but him, you know, ensuring her, like, girl, you don't need to worry about that. I'm all on board.
Well, here. And, he tells her, eventually, I've been watching you for a long time, and I'm into this. Yeah. So.
So I thought that that was nice. And I did like, you know, her kind of ups and downs with how she felt about her body, because that's, I think, true to how it goes. It's like sometimes you're feeling cool, well, and then other
I think that's no matter what your body shape is. Yeah. I think everybody's got that. But, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I also kind of liked her journey with, you know, like her career and, you know, kind of going through ups and downs with, do I want to do this? Do I want to stop doing this? Do I want to give this up for a more kind of...
Well, and she points out, you know, this is not a forever career because, you know, you get to a certain age and it's just not, you age out of it pretty early.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and kind of finding her, I don't know, where she stands with that and finding her sense of comfort with, you know.
Well, and she enjoyed doing the acting and, you know, so she was, yeah, so her, because it doesn't really, even at the end of the book, doesn't say this is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, as with everybody in the world, you know, is this what I want to do forever?
Yeah. What did you think of Nolan as our hero?
I liked Nolan.
I liked Nolan. I liked the kind of reformed bad boy member of a boy band. This is what ages me, is obviously they're supposed to be One Direction, but I kept thinking Backstreet Boys.
I was thinking NSYNC, yeah. Just because of their name.
Yeah, that's true. They had more, Backstreet Boys had more bad boy members though than NSYNC. So that's why my mind was going there. So in my mind, I kept thinking Backstreet Boys, and then they compared him to One Direction. I'm like, oh, it's supposed to have been One Direction this whole time. I'm getting old.
Yeah, you are.
But, yeah, I liked Nolan. I liked, you know, his whole thing with trying to clean up his act, but also realizing, like, when push comes to shove at the end, that it's more important to him to, you know,
be who he is.
Be who he is and be with the people who he cares about, and no matter what that's going to do. And yes.
Yeah.
This is my other problem, is, like, I don't entirely feel like I got to know him outside of that all that much.
Well, and I think that kind of falls into the whole, you know, I needed more to build on their relationship, to build them together emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, like I said, not our first book with a sex worker. What did you think of the representation of the porn industry in this book?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you're going to have a question about this. The whole thought that they could make, I'm just going to call it a Hallmark movie.
It was never going to happen.
Essentially a Hallmark movie with a porn star, and that they were going to get away with it. It was definitely going to come out at some point in time.
As soon as they're like, when she's like, I might be able to do this. I might be able to, because there can't be that much crossover between the Hallmark audience and the porn audience. It's like, girl, the internet exists.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to come up.
And she's even still posting stuff on her webpage when she's there filming the movie. And it's like, you know, which is whatever. But you can't expect to be doing that kind of stuff and think it's not going to get back to the people who are making the movie.
Yeah. Because I was telling Mom, I'm like, Eve, first of all, there's enough people that now watch Hallmark movies, ironically, that there very well could be crossover between who's watching a Hallmark movie and who's watching porn. Also, there could be, I told mom, I'm like, some Midwestern housewife could be watching Hallmark movie. Her husband walks by and, you know, behind the couch and is like, hey, I know her. How do I know her?
Oh,
and it's like,
I don't know her. Never mind.
Oh, wait. But I'm going to go post something on Reddit real quick because this is interesting that she's in this movie. Yeah, there's just no way in hell that, like,
especially in this day and age when with social media and all the media.
And the fact that, like, anybody thought, especially her, who knows how, like, the internet is,
yeah.
it would seem. Like, the fact that she thought, even for a second, that you could ever get away with that is insane. But, I will say, I think more so in the beginning, but, I feel like it kind of makes some of the people, particularly the ones that are in the, adult entertainment industry, look a bit buffoony.
Well, and I told Ellen, I said, I'm getting tired of the, oh, that's right, I'm not making a porn movie. You know, that joke got old after a while.
Well, and it dies down a bit, but...
It does, but it's just like, okay, can you guys really not,
I mean,
separate the two?
There is good, like, humor in the dichotomy between a porn movie and
a Hallmark
and
movie.
And a Hallmark movie. There is some good humor there. So that would be, like, my one thing where I kind of think maybe it does them a bit of a disservice. But I did appreciate, like, the eventual messaging of more body positivity in the industry and more independence for, like, the creators and the entertainers to, you know.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, you guys. I used to, when I was doing casting.
When you were doing porn?
Yeah, when I was doing porn in the, I said porn because I was
corn
because I was combining casting and porn. When I was doing casting in LA, I don't know. We'd hear all sorts of stories about, I don't know, just bad. You know, people being taken advantage of in the casting process.
I think that happens more than what we were being shown in this book. I don't think.
Yes, but I do think it's getting better because of stuff like this where the entertainers can kind of take more
control of their
control and ownership. They don't have to go the back alley seedy way with some creepy guy in the valley.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the only option available to them to make it in the industry, you know. And so, in fact, I don't even think that is the way to do it anymore. It is through this. It is through.
I'm not really up on my porn.
I know you're not. So that's why I'm taking control of this conversation.
Thank
Neither
you.
Neither am I. But I'm at least more well read on it. The process
okay.
than you are. But yeah. So kind of celebrating the fact that, you know, especially the women can kind of have more control of their body, their own bodies, and, you know, what they get to or don't have to do with them. So I thought that was all good. And I honestly, I'll save that for when we talk about the end. But other than some moments where I think they make some of the people look kind of stupid, I thought overall it was pretty good representation.
For example, when Teddy asked these people to come and help him on the movie he was doing, the fact that he would not say, look, it's not a porn.
Well, he makes her go through all this, like, freaking, you have to do this, you have to do this, but he doesn't say the same thing to, like, everybody else.
Apparently he didn't even mention to them that it was a Hallmark movie or, you know, whatever, a Hope Network movie or whatever they called it, but essentially a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, we're just going to keep calling it a Hallmark movie.
I mean, it seems like he would make a big deal to everybody he had coming on that, you know, this is a different kind of movie than we're used to doing, so come prepared.
Yeah. There's also a smidgen of mental health representation in this book, with his mother suffering from bipolar disorder. What did you think of that?
I thought that was handled really well. I thought they did a really good job with...
I was glad that his mom, like, eventually found, like, stood her ground and, like, wanted to find some independence because it is a thing that, and it doesn't sound like she's so far gone that right. she can't be, like, an active member of society. And so I was glad when she kind of was like, you know, I'm gonna find some way to help out. I'm, you know, I don't want my children to be.
Yeah. And it sounded like she was talented enough that she could, like, yeah. work from home and do stuff
yeah.
from home. And
especially, like we said, in this day and age, there's so yeah. many avenues available for that. I did get a little frustrated with his family. Now, granted, it's, like, his 17-year-old sister. So, like, my one thing that I was like, come on, is when she calls him in hysterics while he's on.
And she's crying.
When she's crying and he, like, urgently takes a phone call. And then he's like, I'm going to come out there. She's like, we don't need you. Why are you trying to, like, micromanage us? I'm like, girl, don't call him sobbing and then berate him for saying he's going to come out there. And, you know, that was my only thing. But I was just kind of like, okay, that's a little unfair.
Well, just pull yourself together a little bit before you call him. Yeah. She had to know that he would respond like that.
Yeah. But I liked the eventual resolution with his mom and, you know, the stance that he takes in his interviews about his mom and yeah. how it's, and also it's like, I signed up for this. They didn't leave them alone.
Yeah.
Like,
and she's not a victim of something. She's yeah. you know, just has something she's working with. And
yeah. What did you think of the hallmark of it all? Have we read another book that's the shooting of a Hallmark movie?
I don't think so.
Why did that ring a bell for me? I don't know.
You
guys help me. You guys remember this stuff way better than me, than either of us.
I thought it was.
There's a lot of, like, good Hallmark ribbing
yes.
going on here.
Yes.
I will say, this is way worse. This plot is worse than most Hallmark movies.
Yes.
Because I was like, what the hell are you saying? And this, like,
seems like a really super cheesy movie. Like, even worse than most Hallmark
movies. Well, and I love how they're, like, trying to find the, like, gravitas in it. I'm like, with this plot, we're really going to try to do that.
Well, I did like that part at the end where they were throwing out all the lines that they could use for the, you know, and it was all yeah. just catchphrases from movies.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, so that was way worse than real ones. Okay, let's just go on record as I'm going to be the Hallmark movie defender here okay. a little bit. But there is some good ribbing. And I don't know.
Because I kept trying to figure out, like, I got that she went back in time.
Oh my gosh, but can we say Hallmark After Dark? I need that. Like, yes, please.
I think it's called Passion Flicks.
Yeah.
Essentially. But I get that she goes back in time and, you know, after she runs away from her wedding.
Yeah.
But my thing was, it never explains, like, how she goes back in time. There's no.
Yeah, there's a witch.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. There is a witch. And the witch makes it so that.
Curses her.
And
because of something she did to her sister. And I don't know.
This one is over the top crazy. But I think that was
that's intentional. Yeah. And it's like they're trying to make the most outlandish. And listen, there are some that are more outlandish than others. There needed to be more, like, Christmas tree farms and cookie baking contests. Those are the ones that I roll my eyes at. What was
the cookie? There's always cookie baking and they're always making a gazillion cookies and they're always making them like 2 weeks before Christmas.
Well, and they're enjoying it. Excuse me.
Oh my gosh.
Would never.
Don't even get me started on frosting Christmas cookies.
I would never make that many cookies and be like, oh my gosh, we're having such a great time.
Such a good time. And they all come out looking perfect.
Leave me alone.
Anytime I do like gingerbread man, I was like, it looks like a 4-year-old did this, mom. I'm like, yeah, thanks.
It's true. Mom is not very good at that.
I'm not very good at
cake. Well, it's because you don't use like good. You need to get out, like, good tools. You use just, like, you get, like, a spoon and put some frosting in it and then try to, like, pipe with that.
No, I buy the squeeze tubes, and they're terrible because it gets hard in there and then it doesn't.
Yeah,
anyway,
see,
it's bad.
You need me to Like, people, because I decorate cakes occasionally, and people are like, wow, you did such a good job. I'm like, you just have to have, like, the right piping tips and a picture from Pinterest to follow, and it's like, it's not that hard, let's be honest. And let me go on my tangent. More than freaking an hour to do it. I think I've said this before, but I have serious beef with the show Nailed It. And to a certain degree, Great British Bake Off. Because it's like, make a 5-tier wedding cake in an hour. And then let us make fun of you and how piss poor of a job you did. When it's like, no pastry chef in the world could do it in an hour.
Well, and with Great British Baking Show, which this is way off topic, but they every time they do a bread, because that's kind of my thing. I make a lot of breads. Every time they do a bread, it's like, oh, he's poking it and saying, you didn't let it proof long enough. Well, you gave them an hour, and it has to proof for like 45 minutes. So, yeah, no, they didn't let it proof enough.
But that seems like your problem, yeah. Not mine. If I was making it at home, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, but he's always poking it. No, no, I need more proving. It's like, okay, yeah, of course it did.
So give me another hour.
Yeah, seriously.
Gosh. Yeah, I know. But see, I feel like I let Great British Bake Off get away with it because they're much nicer about it. Yeah. But freaking Nailed It sits there and is like, look at what this freaking idiot did who obviously has never cooked a day in their life. And it's like, no. You gave them, like, no time at all to do this thing that would take a really long time. Especially, like, I take forever.
Ellen is... Well, you've gotten faster.
Yeah, but it still takes me a long time.
It does.
And it takes a lot of cursing, which would not be Netflix appropriate. Well, you know, not family Netflix appropriate.
That's true.
Because there's just a lot of, like...
You couldn't go on Great British Bake Off because they all are sweet to each other.
I have road rage and I have cake rage.
Ellen does have road rage. I think it's living in LA that.
Yeah. I have my friend will be on the phone, like, because she'll have me call her after work and I'll be on the phone with her and I'll, you know, be like, yeah, so my day was, get over, you dumb piece of shit. And I'm like, anyway, so my day was good.
Like, speaking of being bipolar. Yeah.
So, and she's always like, I've never heard you so angry. I'm like, yeah, well, what do you want me to say? Anyway, back to this book. How did we get? We talked about cookies. We're talking about Hallmark. Yeah, so Hallmark.
Yeah, decorating Christmas cookies. We really went down a rabbit hole there. Sorry.
But I think the one that, like, made me eye roll the most Hallmark movie-wise was there was one called, like, Hats Off to Christmas or something. And it was this girl who her store was, like, a Christmas hat store. And I'm like, what business model were you working with that you thought this was going to work?
This is going to... All year long, people are going to want to buy Christmas hats.
Well, it was... I think it would, like, become Christmas hats... But okay. Prior to that, it was just hats.
Normal hats. Well, even a normal hat store isn't going to do great.
Yeah, that's, I mean, in like small town USA, it's like there's really that big of a market for hats.
Well, I don't know. I don't live and in then, a place
like,
where people wear
they're
hats.
They're like, wow, look at this great hat. And it's like a freaking Dollar Tree Santa hat. I'm like, wow, beautiful. Made in China. Anyway. So yes, I enjoy a good Hallmark ribbing as much as the next person, but also that is worse than most Hallmark movies. Let's just say.
Well, and for a town that was essentially set up to make Hallmark movies, I don't even know what else. So it just had this town that was set up to make Hallmark movies, and then there's a strip club and a grungy bar. It sounds like. Yeah.
Well,
it's, and then the rest of the town is.
It's like Punxsutawney, right? Where it's like, it's found its niche, and it's just really leaned into it. But, you know, it also still has a strip club, and it's, so they are also going to lean into it.
Okay.
What do you want from me? What did you think of the side characters?
The side characters. There was a lot of them.
There were, and this is where I feel like... It needed to be trimmed slightly. Also, like I said, this book is obviously setting up a series about the other Ink members. Because you never find out how Brooklyn died, which right. is obviously being saved for his book. I told Mom, and I'm really disappointed that you didn't pick this up, Callum is obviously going to be in the next book with Winnie Baker.
Well, because they obviously have it at the end there.
They obviously have history, and they're obviously going to be in a Hallmark
and
movie.
And he obviously dropped a Teen Choice Award on her foot.
Which is kind of funny. and so, I liked the other Ink members. You don't get much of Isaac. Was that his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously there's something going on as well with,
and Calum obviously has a dad bod. Yeah. Which I can get behind that.
Yeah. But there's still more, I think, for Angel and Luca as well.
Okay.
Because they have, like, obviously, like, well, there was weird a lot vibe of, at the end.
They just brought in a whole plethora of people.
So this has some first bookitis, is what I was getting at. Because it is, so, because they're introducing a lot of people. And I don't know if Sunny will get a book. Maybe Sunny will end up with Isaac, potentially.
I don't know.
But, no, but Sunny is...
her roommate.
Right, but is Sunny lesbian or bi?
I couldn't keep track of everybody.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There was nobody straight in this book.
No, there were.
Which is slightly unbelievable. Except for, like, Callum, I think, was the only one.
Yeah, and even Callum Dowdle, it sounded like, which, you know, is
no,
fine.
He said that he was, like, a zero on the Kinsey scale.
Okay.
Which means, like, uber...
I get it.
Uber straight. Yeah.
It was, there was a lot of people. And even, like, bringing in Jack, who...
That, the Jack thing was odd to me, because at first I thought it was going to be, like, a revenge porn thing, and I was like, ooh, this is going to be bad. So I'm glad it didn't go down that route, where it's like, you will have sex with me or else. I'm glad it didn't go down that route. But then at the end of the day, too, it's just like, so why was
he in there?
Why was this a thing?
And I guess it was just to have someone that she thought, but then it was like a no big deal with
The stripper. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they had that picture would have keyed me into the stripper immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the only one who had it.
Yeah.
And then that's the one that shows up in the article. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. It wasn't just me.
No. Yeah, so I enjoyed people in the book. I enjoyed Sunny. I enjoyed her moms. I enjoyed Callum. There was just a lot of them.
There was a lot of people to keep track of.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the conflict, which I'm going to say in this case is the reveal of her, which obviously we knew was coming.
Had to come.
Yeah. And then him kind of publicly distancing himself and then coming back around. So what did you think of that?
Well, here was the problem I had with that, is that she seemed to be on board with that type of arrangement. And then she got all pissed off when he did it. Like, when he said, well, we'll have to keep this quiet because I'm trying to rebrand myself. She's like, that's fine. You know, I'm okay with that. She seemed okay with kind of keeping...
Yeah, but we know that when women say that, we're fine.
I'm just saying, but that's what she said. And having been married 40 years, men are not mind readers.
Yeah.
You got to tell them what you want them to know. But, and so then when it plays out, and granted, he felt bad about it. And granted, it kind of went down in a weird, you know, there's always, it wasn't, no one turned their phone off, but it was, you know, she took gummies and went to sleep for a day and a half or whatever.
And he went and did Christmas and.
And he was flying. I mean, it was just a lot of, no one could get a hold of anybody for quite a while. And, I don't know, it seemed to me she got really angry.
She didn't get all that angry, though. I didn't.
Well, like, she did. She said, we're over. We're through. Yeah. That's pretty angry. And then she cried for days and...
Yeah, I was kind of...
That was kind of my only problem with it. And I knew it was going to
Yeah, fixed. I mean, I figured that's exactly how all that was, like, was going to go down. And I liked his, like, grand gesture.
I did, too.
And
in the pizza van, which was awesome.
And honestly, like, I'm glad that the publicity side of it went down the way it did to where... Because I think this is how this would go down in this day and age. I think that there would be some uproar about the fact that there's a porn star in a Hallmark movie. And then I think there would be a lot of people that are like, give me the porn star in the Hallmark movie now. Yeah. Like, I want that in my eyeballs.
Well, and I also think it would be a lot of people calling out Hallmark for firing her or whatever, yeah. not releasing the movie.
And there would
or
be
whatever.
All those think pieces, and there would be people that are coming to her defense.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of how I would like to think this is how that would go down.
Well, I think there would be a lot of trolls in the beginning, and then then I think
there's always going to be trolls.
Yeah.
But like I said, give me Hallmark After Dark. I would live for that. You know, instead of running Golden Girls reruns or whatever that they do after midnight. Not that I've ever watched Hallmark movie past.
Yeah, but
that is what they do. They show Golden Girls and Frasier. So replace those with some more, you know, kissing with tongue movies.
What? Ellen, calm down.
But yeah, so I liked that that was how that side of it went down, because I do think that is how that would go down. And it, you know, made me a little bit, and that's another component of the adult entertainment industry, like that in, I liked that representation. And also, hell yes, they need some more body diversity in Hallmark movies.
Yes.
I mean,
we had, how long did we have to wait just to get
a black person?
Yes, exactly. I think last year was the first time they had a person of color in a.
They've got a pretty good lineup this year, because they've got some, they've got, like, some Asian Americans representation. They've got some Hanukkah. They've got some Italian Christmas movie celebration. They've got, so, they're course correcting.
They're getting better.
A little, too little, too late. A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, I was kind of fine with the conflict. I think because it was so expected that that was how all of it was going to go down, that when it went down exactly how I expected, I was like, yeah, okay, that's what I thought was going to happen. So nothing about it, like, really pissed me off all that much.
No, and it was, I liked the way it was resolved in the end anyway, so.
Yeah. Let's talk about Sex Baby. There's a lot of it.
There is. It might be that I fast forwarded through a lot of the.
Yeah, it might. I mean, even at me, at a certain point, I was like, okay, so he penis in vagina, got it.
Or tongue on vagina.
Tongue on clitoris. Got it. Yes. And as Mom and I were saying earlier, I mean, like, once you have sex in a church, like, what more is there to do?
Yeah.
Like,
once you get banged in a church, on a church altar.
In a wedding dress.
In a wedding dress, nonetheless.
That was, you know.
And then he's dressed like a duke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get it.
I also get that he was having a hard time. Okay.
A hard time?
This, I really get concerned about some of these people in these books. And I know we've talked about this before. But especially these guys who are walking around, like,
Full erect
all the time. Like, can't get rid of it. And I was like, okay, honey, if you take medication and you have an erection for more than 4 hours, you're supposed to go see a doctor. If you're walking around all day with an erection.
So if you're doing that without medication.
Yeah. You have got to do something more than just the gingerbread lotion.
I really was waiting for the moment where, like, you know, she goes to go down on him and she's just like, oh, wow.
Oh, wow. This tastes delicious.
Gingerbread.
Gingerbread.
And that didn't happen.
That didn't
and I
happen.
Was shocked.
And Ellen was really disappointed.
Yeah.
We read a lot of these books where these guys are, and I literally asked my husband at one point in time, I said, is this normal? And he's like, Absolutely not. Just to look at someone and
just be like, boy, yo, 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 yo.
Jizz in my pants.
Yeah. What do you think the hottest scene was?
The hottest scene or
the hottest scene.
You can't change the question audience.
Come on. This one deserves a hottest scene question. I think the hottest one was the dry humping. I'm just gonna say.
Oh, at the very beginning when they were Yeah.
The wedding dress was also kinda good.
That was kinda good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What was your swooniest moment? Do we need, because I feel like we're probably glossing over the sexy stuff. Do we need to talk about anything else there?
It was pretty sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was out of control sexy. I think we've read worse.
Yeah. We haven't read worse in a while.
No, that's true.
It seems like we've been pretty light on the... I think that... I mean, we've talked about this, but I just feel like the general big sellers these days, it's pretty low on the... spice.
Well, I think they're trying to keep them more mainstream.
Yeah, but this one is definitely marketed like
here's
a gromance, and it is not.
Since we're on the topic, and I know we've talked about book covers not matching.
Well, usually our problem is that you've got these cutesy covers and then like a super angsty or kind of like
and
sad.
And I was fine actually with the cover of this book.
It's a very cute cover.
The problem I had is the name of the book is Meet Cute, and they didn't really have an actual meet cute. Classic meet cute.
I do like the premise of he likes her secretly and she likes him secretly
and they don't know that the other is really into each other like for years and
but
years
that
and
also
years.
Doesn't last very long because they start hitting it pretty early on.
But the book, the title Meet Cute or Very Merry Meet Cute or whatever it is,
A Very Merry Little Meet Cute, is that Very Merry
a merry little meet cute.
I was like, you're throwing me off here.
Because usually a meet cute refers to, you know, running into each other or some kind of silly thing that happens.
Yeah.
And these two just get introduced to each other. I mean, it's not
anything.
So, but it also is kind of a sweet, bouncy little name for a book that is just like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. I guess I don't have much more to say about the sex. There's a lot of it. But that's kind of to be expected. I mean, you have these two people who are very promiscuous.
And sexually positive.
Yes. And so, you know, they kind of make the joke about how they did everything backwards. But, you know, I think physical intimacy means something a little different to both of them. Because they use it a little bit more liberally, which is fine. So I kind of do wish that there was more of a moment where that shifts a bit for them. I think we get hints of that, but, you know, not to be super cliche, but, like, where they go from, like, hitting it to making love. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
So.
'Cause they literally, like... You know, typical romance novel. Let's do this one time to get it out of our system.
Okay, what was your swooniest moment?
Well, I'll tell you, my swooniest moment had potential that it didn't necessarily reach because... Anyway, I'm going to tell you. My swooniest moment was when they went on their little date to go ice skating. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, we're going on a date. And then that... stupid reporter guy showed up.
Yeah.
But they still, you know, went ice skating. It was cute.
Yeah. I think I'm honestly just going to go with the grand gesture at the end. That was, like, with his interview and showing up and all of that. I think that would be mine. And, you know, the dry humping.
Yeah. The dry humping. That was so romantic.
So romantic. What can I say? I'm a girl of simple
needs.
You're a simple girl? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. So that's what we think. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will hear from some of you on what you think of this book. So stay with us. This episode is brought to you by Kobo Plus Read. At Kobo, we bring everything that you love about reading at your local bookstore or at a cafe to the modern world. You can download the free Kobo app or read through one of our innovative e-readers, shop the always open Kobo e-bookstore, and easily integrate the power of reading into your everyday. Because stories can shape who you are and words can transform the world around you. Ready to elevate your reading world? Start reading with Kobo. Especially for our Canadian, Italian, Australian, and Kiwi listeners, there's Kobo Plus. For the reader who believes in love, find the best romance ebooks with Kobo Plus Read. Here's how it works. Enjoy all you can read ebooks for one low price every month. Insatiable reader, access the entire Kobo Plus ebook catalog for only $9.99 Canadian dollars, $13.99 Australian dollars, $14.99 New Zealand dollars, and try it free for 30 days. No, you're not dreaming. Start your Kobo Plus trial and enjoy a whole month of all-you-can-read ebooks for free. Sign up for Kobo Plus and enjoy endless ebooks at no cost. After the 30 days, you just pay those prices that we went over. And for our Italian listeners, if there are any, iscriviti a Kobo Plus ebook e accedi a oltre 100.000 ebook a soli 9.99 euro al mese, provo gratis per 30 giorni. There's my Italian coming out. In Canada, you can check out Only One Mistake by Natasha Madison, Unforgettable in Love by Bella Andre and Jennifer Scully, My Famous Frenemy by Piper Rain, Folk Around and Find Out by Penny Reid, which we have coming up on our next reading list, Everything for You by Chloe Liese, in Australia, The Mistletoe Motive by Chloe Liese, Inappropriate by Vi Keeland, Only One Mistake by Natasha Madison, The Duke and the Lass by Jesse Clever, and so much more in all regions. Love's in the air. Access all the romance ebooks you want. Subscribe to Kobo Plus Read for one low monthly price. And thank you to Kobo for sponsoring this episode. Welcome back. So let's hear from some of you on what you thought. Kind of all over the board, it seems, for this one. So starting out, Kelsey says, I was very disappointed in this one. I was so excited for it, and I ended up being let down. And somebody else said the same. So there's that. Cassie says, this was okay. I liked having a plus-size sex worker heroine and thought B was a fun main character. Nolan wasn't a very memorable hero. I thought some of the Hallmark movie scenes were funny, and I definitely got good Christmassy vibes while reading. This was definitely a unique Christmas book, but I was desperate for more relationship development between B and Nolan. Even by the end of the book, I didn't know why they were in love, other than the fact that they each had a celebrity crush on the other person and they liked having sex with each other. With most books I've read by Sierra Simone, I end up feeling bored slash sick of all the sex scenes by the end. This book was no different. I'm no prude, and I certainly prefer on-page sex in romance books versus fade to black, but the constant sex without adequate romantic relationship development just ends up feeling empty to me. I read and enjoy erotica, but when a book is presented as a romance, I expect romance and not just sex. I also didn't love the storyline with Nolan's mom. She's bipolar and medicated, but her high school-aged daughter has to be her caretaker, and Nolan can never be away from his phone because he's so worried about her. I appreciate attempts at including mental health representation, but I felt like it was handled in a clumsy way. I agree with that, but I feel like that's why I liked the resolution, that she says, I need to be able to, like, we need to stop doing this. You know, I can contribute. Let me contribute. So I feel like,
well, I think the, what I understood was that when her husband died, when his father died, that kind of set her off a little more. And then it was taking them a while to get her medication.
Yeah. Regulated.
Regulated. And you know, and so I could see that because I know plenty of people who are bipolar who function in society, and you wouldn't even know it. But, you know, but I could see her going through that kind of a trauma and then, you know,
needing
extra
Well,
help.
And also, like, all of them, not just her getting comfortable with the situation, but the kids also getting, feeling like they need to step in and take care of her. And so all of them kind of getting in that groove, and then finally somebody stepping up and saying, okay, we need to, this needs to course correct, you know? So I totally see where you're coming from, Cassie. I think they do correct it by the end, so I was happy with that. But obviously we agree with everything else because that's basically what we said the whole episode. that just more relationship and maybe take out a sex scene if you need to do that to kind of give us something more to like latch onto.
Well, once they're having sex, we don't need, like we said before, unless it's contributing to the actual relationship or to the storyline in some way.
I don't even really, I mean, like, if they want to have a sex scene, have a sex scene, but there, it can't only be sex, especially, this book was plenty long, like, there should have been more given to that, if, like, if this is a romance book, there needs to be some
romance, yes,
not just definitely sex. Kayla says, there was just something kind of missing for me. I agree with Cassie about me. I feel like the sex came on so quick, it was kind of hard to catch up with where the romance piece came in. I was so excited for the Hallmark vibes because bad Hallmark movies are my December guilty pleasure. Same. But it seemed almost too ridiculous to get around for me. I will say the spicy scenes were chef's kiss, but they were very upfront and aggressive, and I would have liked to see more relationship building first. Listen, it didn't even need to be first. But it just needed to be in there somewhere.
had to occur at some point in time.
They can have the aggressive sex first if they want, but
I just, because I can't get on board with this is going to be a happily ever after if I don't feel like I've seen a relationship development.
Yeah.
And sex is not a relationship development.
Yeah. Shannon says, I really loved this one and read it in record time. It did take me some time to wrap my head around the Hallmark vibes with all the sex. I would agree that the sex was quicker than in regular romance novels. Unlike other romances, these are characters where sex isn't the culmination of the relationship. It was almost like their courting ritual. It was the hold hands and dating that showed that they were building something. They were having a relationship in reverse. B and Nolan even talk about it. I found it charming and relatable, and I got all the feels when he had his grand gesture interview and told her he loved her. The only nitpicky thing I noticed was I think some of these added characters were a bit much in the story. It was like they were trying to fit in every version of sexual identification into one story. No two people were alike or couples were alike. It was like they were ticking off a list or something. Other than that small detail, I thought it was a great Christmas romance. I felt all the Christmas joy and wonder, and I would love to see Duke the Halls of if it ever made it to television. You had me at time-traveling Christmas with a Duke.
Well, it does sound a little bonkers.
Yeah. I would, yeah, I do, yeah. I mean, it is bonkers, but I do like a bonkers sometimes. I would agree with your nitpick. Like we said, there's, like, no straight people in this. Which, you know, like we said, spectrum. But the fact that there's just nobody is a little interesting. Yeah, that's what I'll say there. Emily says, I loved it. The body positivity, the super spicy stuff happening while filming a faux Hallmark movie. Bad boy band member trying to straighten out. Chef's kiss. 5 stars. So there you go.
There you go.
Karen says, I thought this one was delightful. It's not going on my all-time favorites list, but it was the right book at the right time for me. I read basically the entire thing while doing my 3-hour glucose test. Anyone who has had to do this when pregnant will tell you it's not fun. And it was the perfect distraction. The description of the North Pole strip club cracked me up, although what kind of business do they do over the summer, I wonder?
Yeah.
I think the fat positivity was genuine, and Nolan was great about not being a creep over the porn stuff. Their family slash friends were sweet and supportive. I was wondering how the authors were going to wrap things up in a satisfying way, and I think they did well. It required a bit more suspension of disbelief than your average romance, and the level of ridiculousness was high, but knowing the premise going in, I was expecting that. Really enjoyed this one. Fair. Absolutely. Yeah. Precious says, finish this in a timely manner. Give this 3.5 to 4 stars. Found this story pleasant, torn between a like and a really like. That's kind of me too.
Yeah.
Jill says, this was spicy. I enjoyed it. Definitely a like and not a love. It was also a bit long.
Yep.
It could have worked really well as a novella.
Yep.
I've read quite a few holiday romances, and this one wasn't super memorable to me. I do appreciate the body acceptance in this one, as there isn't a whole lot of body diversity in the world of Hallmark holiday movies, or Hallmark movies in general. The cover is beyond adorable and safe to take on an airplane. Your seatmate will be none the wiser on all the sexy times you are reading about. This is true. It's very innocuous looking. Jen says, it's been a while since I listened to this, so I'll just copy the review I wrote on Goodreads. I liked this book. I really loved the message behind it, and there were some really great moments, but I felt that it was probably 100 pages too long.
Yes.
That's what I said as well. Inner monologues got repeated over and over again. Yes. I loved the ending. 3.5 stars. Agree.
Yeah.
It just needed editing, which we've said before, but, I don't know if they were trying to meet some sort of page quota.
I don't know. But that whole thing, because we've read this in other books, and it just gets so daunting.
I almost wonder if some of it is because of having two authors, too.
I don't know.
So, like, they both want to give each other enough time to get what they want on but the page.
But when you have a character, when you're inside a character's head, and they keep lamenting the same thing over and over again, it's like, okay, I get it.
Heard. That's what I say to my kids. I'm always like... Because, you know, I repeat the same things over and over
again. Do you? I've never noticed that teachers have to do that. That seems crazy.
And then I say, heard? And they're like, heard. I'm like, okay. You've told me that it's heard. Now I need to say, understood?
I always go, open to page 26. What page are we opening to?
26. Yeah. Teacher moves. Okay. Arthur says, hi, no yomos. This is a love for me. This was great. This was a great read to breeze through. It's Christmas time fluff and surprisingly clever sense of humor, keeping things light while I was following all these lovable characters. Bee's moms, Teddy, and Callum are my personal favorites. Those might be my favorites as well. For a book that seems heteronormative from the outside, considering it stars a man and a woman in the central romance, it boasts a largely queer cast, yes, which was a pleasant surprise. It does make sense when you realize both Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone are bi, though. I'm always appreciative of books that feature primarily queer casts, especially ones that star two bi leads, to counteract the ones that are entirely or mostly cishet. I was into the spice here, but I can see why there are plenty of readers who got thrown off by that. I know that quite a few of them were Julie Murphy fans who expected something along the lines of her YA novels, but that's not what we got. Since Sierra Simone is one of the co-authors, I've never read her work, but I'd like to check them out sometime. They are very spicy. So, that's what I went in expecting. Now, this rom-com isn't perfect. I do think it could have gone a little... could have gone a little more fleshed out with all the social commentary it's trying to make. I like how it's attempting to cover so many topics: slut shaming, misogyny, fat phobia, biphobia, the sexist ways of tabloids, exploitation within the porn industry, etc. But a lot of the commentary feels surface level, as if it's spreading itself too thin. While I'm not expecting a Christmas rom-com to offer a multifaceted breakdown of these subjects, it's still something that bugged me a little. The naivete of Nolan and Bee definitely made me cringe. Did they really think they could get away with their secret relationship forever? Well, I suppose they did. But again, it's a Christmas rom-com, so I suppose it's fitting for characters to act so idealistically. My last gripe has to do with the voices for Bee and Nolan's POVs being too similar. It's too easy to read a chapter and think... I had this happen a few times, too.
Yeah.
To read a chapter and think it's from Bee's perspective, but it turns out that it's actually from Nolan's and vice versa. This makes me wonder if the two co-authors worked together to write all the chapters, which contrasts against the usual method of two authors separately writing the POVs of two different characters. Overall, A Merry Little Meet Cute has its flaws, but I think it's plenty enjoyable nonetheless. I'd actually love to see a sequel based on one or two of the side characters, maybe a book focusing on Luca and Angel. Sincerely, Arthur. Yeah, I was curious. There's definitely a lot of characters that, like, could get their own books. It definitely seems like it's set up to at least be the boy band, the Ink members, but... yes, agree, Arthur, with... Yeah, I do think that it, you know, for how long it was trying to cover, still trying to cover too much. So I can agree with that. Natalie says, I wanted to love this one because I have really enjoyed work by these, both of these authors. And even though I didn't love it, I still liked the book and had fun reading it. To me, it did feel too long and though, and like they were trying to fit too much into one story. I liked Bea and Nolan and thought their motivations and the conflict were handled well. Also, the boob defibrillator joke made me laugh out loud.
That was funny.
I did like that. Sarah says, this wasn't for me. I loved the celebrity crush angle, but I didn't feel their relationship progressed beyond that. I never felt a meaningful connection between the characters. I would agree with that. Gail says, I'm a bit torn about how to rate this book because there is so much to unpack. I'm going to give it a like, I think. I really liked the characters, and it feels like a world I'd like to see some more. I'm kind of guessing they're setting up a series with the Ink Band, so it has a bit of first book-itis. I like the attempt at body positivity and how much Nolan likes Bea's body, but I thought they ruined that with the final conflict where it was revealed that Bea was a porn star so she could feel loved and desired because she didn't think anyone would love her, and Nolan's portrayal proved that. It would have been better for me if Bea had said, fine, I get why you have to disavow my career. They could have still had the coming out of their relationship without Bea's flashback to poor body image. I did like the dual celebrity crushes, but because of the short time frame, it was very insta-love. The whole time frame felt a bit unreal. Why did they only film for 2 weeks? It's not that uncommon, actually, with these things. It could have been longer. They got scenes in one take and never studied their lines, which seemed unrealistic to me. My swooniest scene was the ice skating date. Would have liked more like that. I loved the idea of this book. I think it came close to the mark, but didn't quite hit it for me. But I'm glad I read it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Listen, there is pretty freaking quick turnaround on those Hallmark movies. I won't lie to you. Val says, this was really fun. I dove into the audiobook completely blind, having seen only the cover and knowing absolutely nothing about the story. As a result, there were quite a few legitimately shocking what moments for me. There was a lot I liked. I loved the body positivity. The lack of jealousy was really refreshing, even if it is at a level that was probably unrealistic. It was so much better than reading about men grunting, mine, than stomping around and sulking when a woman has the audacity to even speak to another man. I'm talking to you, Knox Morgan. Knox Morgan. What was he? I know that name.
Oh. Knox. I can't remember.
I know what that is. It's going to bug me. Most of all, I liked how funny the book was. The collision of porn makers and Hallmark provided endless humor. Everything to do with Teddy made me laugh. His daughter's carbon neutral sex toy business, the folder mix up when they were replacing the injured actress. I don't think I've ever seen a headshot with nipples before, etc. For me, the romance was secondary to my enjoyment of the world this was set in. I'm not a big Christmas person, and I generally find porn depressing, but the harsh edges sanded off an industry that's generally pretty grim. I found myself smitten with this charmingly smutty, holly-bedecked Stars Hollow. Oh, yeah, that's kind of what it's like. Okay, so like I said, we're kind of across the board. I do think it's kind of a general sentiment, though, of wanting more romantic development and just kind of enjoying the holiday hijinks.
Yes.
In general, which is about where I am at as well. Mom, any final thoughts from you?
I think if it had been shorter, it would have been a little more enjoyable.
Even, like Jen said, just 100 pages shorter.
Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be a novella, just...
Yeah, it just needed to be trimmed. It just needed some editing, is what it needed.
But yeah, it was...
Yeah. It was fun. And, a little different from our usual
Christmas fair.
Kind of, well, yeah, because it's kind of more, I don't know, we don't usually get this smutty in a Christmas book. It's usually a little more, like, sweet and wholesome, more Hallmarky.
Yeah.
So those are our thoughts and some of your thoughts on A Merry Little Meet Cute by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone. We would love to hear more from you on our Facebook page, our Facebook group, which is Not Your Mom's Facebook group, our Goodreads group, our Twitter and Instagram, which are both at Not Your Mom's Rom, or you can email us at notyourmomsromancebookclub@gmail.com. So if you want to read along with us and email us with your thoughts, or if you would like to suggest a book for us to read, we'd love to hear from you. On January 2nd, after our break, we'll be having our live Best of the Year Awards. Look out on social media for more details about that. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify, and wherever your favorite podcasts are sold for free. Don't forget to leave a review because it helps the show and we just love to read them. All right. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.